Should I just get started, Pastor? Sure, just get started. All right. Welcome to the Sunday School Hour. Good morning. Trust that you're rejoicing in the Lord this morning. It's good to be here. It's exciting to be able to come through. We finished our summer ministry. In fact, we started in Santaquin, Utah, just south of us here with Pastor DeMoro, and we had a great vacation Bible school, started off the first week of June. Then we dropped down to Arizona, and we were at Prescott Valley with Pastor Tom Petro. I say that because Eugene, they know Tom Petro from Arizona and from Faith, and so then from there, we left when we went down south. Remember Tom Petro? Prescott Valley? Just south of Flagstaff. Yep, south. It would have been southwest of Flagstaff, Prescott Valley. Open Door Baptist Church. Then we went down to Elliott Road Baptist Church there in the Sun Valley. And it probably got to, I don't know, about 110 or something like that throughout that week. It was a very warm week, but an exciting week. And then we went up and we went to Kingman, Arizona. They're without a pastor. And they told us that in September they just called a pastor that week while we're there, and he answered the call and said we're willing to come. And so they have a pastor now. We're excited, but we had a great week of Vacation Bible School that week. Then we dropped down and we're over at Gilbert again. That was at Southeast Valley Bible Church with Pastor Gary Davis as well as Joel Tetro. Then from there we dropped south, went to Tucson for our next Vacation Bible School, and we're there from, of course, Sunday through Friday. And then we left there and we went all the way over to California at Victory Ranch and spent 3 weeks, junior one, junior two, as well as junior high and senior high. Junior high, senior high is both the same week. Exciting weekend. We rejoice in the fact that this summer we got to lead 44 young people to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's always exciting. Good to see. And of course, we spent 3 weeks there in Arizona after our meetings at the Victory Ranch. We're over in Santaquin. Excuse me, not Santaquin, but trying to think, right next to the ocean, Santa Monica, and then from Santa Monica, we went to Brawley, and then from Brawley, Bowman, and then from there, we headed on over to Las Vegas, not to gamble, but to share the gospel. So we're in Las Vegas, and then from Las Vegas, of course, we made our way here, and we wanted to make a stop over in St. George in Washington, Utah, see the church there, be there for prayer meeting, and got to meet their new pastor and the families that are down there. We got to see again, which is always exciting. We were there many, many times with Rick and Christy Newell. Over the last 20 years, we've held revival meetings there probably every third year for the last 20 years, and so it was exciting to be able to see them, their new pastor. And their new pastor had married a young lady from South Dakota. And that young lady, I had her in Vacation Bible School when she was, So I remember her, and good to see you. She's married now to a pastor, and now the pastor there at St. George, Washington, Utah area. So it was good to see them, good to see the families down there. And, of course, while we're there, Pastor looked at me and said, well, why are you here? Why don't you preach for us? So Wednesday night, I did some ventriloquism and preached a little bit and got to see everybody that's there. So we're excited. Next week, we're headed over to Kennemer, Wyoming. And so we'll head up there starting off sometime this week. But right now, we get the opportunity to spend some time with you folks. And I want to share. Yes, brother. There's what? California open to the gospel, you mean?
Yeah.
Not any more than usual.
Okay.
Are they? Yeah, we saw, you know, young people responding to the gospel at camps and things. Oh, that's interesting. I'll talk to you about that. Yeah, I not necessarily revivals there at our meetings and things, but yeah, that would be really encouraging if things are starting to turn, and because we definitely need a revival in America. We need hearts to turn back to the Lord. That's exciting. That is I'm praying that we'll have a revival in America because hearts have really become hardened. Young people don't respond like they used to, as they did years ago. Hearts are hardened. Young people are having to grow up faster, and it's just been tough. But, boy, that's good news. That would be exciting if things are happening and the Lord's really working in hearts. So, but here today, I want to share something unique about our ministry, especially during our summer ministries. We do a lot of ventriloquism and object lessons to illustrate the gospel. For instance, your pastor, when he preaches a message, he has an introduction to his message, and then he has usually 3 points and a poem, right? But 3 points he illustrates with different illustrations from life and from Scripture. But here today, I'm going to preach a message the same way. I'm going to have an introduction, and I use ventriloquism to introduce the story. And then I'm going to have 3 points that are going to be illustrated with what I call object lessons with a surprise ending. And I do that during camps, vacation Bible schools, Sunday school time for whole families. And so I want to share a message with you from the Word of God. And folks, this isn't just a story. You know, often when we think about a story, we think about a once upon a time fairy tale, right? That's what we think about. But this is not a fairy tale. This is a true account that's found in Scripture. This story really happened. It happened. So I like to call it a true account from the Word of God because the Word of God is not a fairy tale book. The Word of God is a book that has truth. A Word of God is God-inspired, the written Word of God. Something that God has given to us. Some people have said in an acrostic to the word Bible, Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. And an opportunity in reading God's Word because it is God's Word. And we need to read it because it's God's love letter to us. Well, I want to share this important story with you with the help of my friend Randy. Randy's going to come and help me share with you a true account of the strongest man in the world. And you know, his name is not Hercules. This guy is found in the Bible, a true account. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we get started, and we'll see what Randy has to say this morning. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be here today, to be with friends, loved ones, people that we have appreciated over the years and been encouragement to us. I pray, Father, that this weekend we can be an encouragement to them, and that, Father, we'll be challenged by your word today, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so sit back in your seats, turn up your hearing aids if you need to, and listen to this important account found in the Word of God. You listen. I think I have a stand here somewhere. Here it is. I'll come down here so everybody can see just a little bit better. Here we go. Because everybody's way back there. Okay. And we'll see what Randy has to say. And of course, you can't just run into his box. You got to knock on the door, right? It's not very nice for somebody to just run in your house without knocking, right? So I'm going to knock on the door of my friend's house, and we'll see what he has to say. Randy, did you hear anything? Neither did I. Randy,
yeah, you can get me out.
He's in there.
Hey, Rhett, yeah, let me out. Let's just... Don't do that. I got a question to you. Oh, cut that out. Don't do that. Oh, watch it.
Randy, your hair's a mess. I like it that way.
Don't do that. Watch it, will you? Oh, I got a question to you. Wait a second. Hold it. Wait, hold up. Hey, there's people out there. Well, how you doing? It's good to see you. I got a question to you.
But Randy, I want to share. I got a question to you. But I'll tell you what, why don't you introduce yourself?
Okay, I'm hungry.
What do you mean you're hungry? I'm hungry. But Randy, you got all the food you'll ever need right there in your box. All I got left is spinach.
Spinach? I don't like spinach.
But Randy, spinach is good for you.
It is?
Yeah, it puts colors in your cheeks. Who wants green cheeks? All I wanted you to do is introduce yourself.
Okay, my mouth goes up and down like this.
Randy, that's not what I meant.
And my eyes go back and forth like this.
Can you see them?
They're too far back there. They can't see it.
Yeah, I know. And what else?
Oh, my eyebrows go up and down like this.
and my head goes all around like this. Don't know, Randy, Randy. Oh, that dildo, I wish you that you could do that. Yeah, I'm sure I got a question for you. Okay, okay, what's your question? Why didn't Sam name his son? Why didn't Sam name his son? That's it. But oh, you mean Samuel. No, I named Sam. But Randy, there's no Sam in the Bible. There sure is. He had a son. He did. He had a son, and his dad's name, it was Sam. Wait a second. Hold it. There is no Sam. Sure there is. Okay, I'll tell you what. Okay, if Sam and his son, yeah, they wanted to eat something, yeah, what would the mother say? To do what? To bring this son home. Oh, he'd call him Sam's son. Wait a second. You're talking about Manoah. No, that's the guy in the ark. I mean Sam. No. Noah's the guy in the ark. Manoah had a son by the name of Samson. Yep, Sam's son. No, wait a second. Say it faster. Sam's son. No, faster. Sam's son. That's it. Samson. Samson. It means little son. Oh, sonny dooly. Oh, yeah. In any case, the Bible shares with us that Samson was very, very unique, like me. No, not like you. Samson took the Nazarite vow, like Jesus did. Oh, no, Jesus is from Nazareth. Samson took the Nazarite vow, which meant that he was very special, like me. No, not exactly. You see, Samson, there were certain things he could not do, like what? Well, first of all, he was never to drink anything from the vine. No grape juice? No grape juice. Not only that, but he was never to eat any unclean meat. No Big Macs? No Big Macs. And not only that, he was never to cut his hair. Oh, he's a hippie. Yeah, in any case, if he followed these rules and did exactly what God told him to do, he would be very, very strong. Smelling. No, not smelling. You know strong? You call that strong. Yeah, in any case, the Bible shares with us that Samson, he did some mighty things for the glory of God. Like what? Well, first of all, he carried two large gates to the top of a mountain. That is strong. And not only that, but he killed 30 men with his bare hands. How'd you like to meet him in a dark alley? And not only that, but he killed 1,000 men with a jawbone of a donkey. Let's have a few minutes of silence. For the 1,000 men who died? No, for the donkey. Yeah, in any case, the Bible shares with us, Samson was unique. His job was to begin to deliver Israel from the Philistines. How did he do? Not very good, Randy, because one day something terrible happened. He ate a Big Mac. Oh, no, he didn't eat a Big Mac. The terrible thing that happened was he fell in love with a girl. Oh, yuck. It wasn't any girl. He fell in love with the Philistine girl. Oh, no. This Philistine girl by the name of Delilah was paid lots of money to find out why Samson was so strong. Oh, did he tell her? Oh, Delilah, she begged and she pleaded. Samson played a few games with her, seeing how she would react. But one day, Samson finally told her why he was so strong. She must have cried. What do you mean she must have cried? Well, all girls have to do is cry, and they always get their way. Yeah, it's true. Delilah did cry, and Samson broke down and told Delilah why he was so strong. What did he say? Well, he simply told her all she had to do was cut his hair. Oh, it's about time. Well, not just because he had long hair. That's not why he was strong. He was strong because he was obedient to God. When he chose to disobey God, the Bible shares with us that his strength was gone. Oh, what happened? Oh, Randy, it was terrible. The Philistines came in and they plucked out his eyes. He can't see. And then they tied him up with fetters of brass. He can't go anywhere. And not only that, but he made Samson grind Israel's wheat for the Philistines to eat. How embarrassing. Yeah, they took Samson down to Gaza and they made him grind Israel's wheat for the Philistines to eat for months. Oh, that's sad. Certainly was. But one day, the Philistines decided to have a party. Yippee, let's go. Oh, we don't want to go to this party. Is there food? Oh, yeah, I'm sure there's food cookies. I'm sure there's cookies. I don't want to go. Well, they not only were making fun of Samson, they were making fun of Samson's God. That's not right. No, it's not. The Bible tells us as they were making fun of Samson and making fun of Samson's God, they didn't realize that Samson's hair had grown back. They didn't realize that God was about to use Samson one more time. What happened? Oh, he made a friend with a little boy who took him to the two large pillars that held up the whole building. Samson prayed to God, asking him for his strength back one more time. And Samson pulled those two pillars apart, and the whole building came crashing down. Look out! Samson killed more people in his death than he killed in his whole life. What a disease! Oh, Samson didn't die of a disease. He sure did. Oh, no, 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 no. Sin is not a disease. No, no. Did he die of the disease? All right, I'll bite. What disease did Samson die of? Falling arches, of course. Samson pulled those two pillars apart. They cracked, and the whole building came down. Oh, what a comedian. Comedian, yeah, he dropped the house down. Yeah, he certainly did that. But it's all because of sin. You know, as Samson was totally sold out for the glory of God, think about the great things that Samson could have done. He could have totally delivered Israel from the Philistines, but he just began the job. He didn't complete it because of sin. Well, sin is an awful thing. It certainly is. Are you going to tell more about that? I sure am. Why don't you go ahead and say goodbye to these fine folks? Okay, we'll see you guys later. Sam, he had a son. Oh boy, Sam had a son, and he was strong too. No, that's Samson, no. Son of Sam. Son of Sam, we'll see you guys later. Oh, come on. Hey, we'll see you later. Thanks for coming. Boy, hey, what's up? Take it easy. What's out? That's Randy. And the powerful story of Samson. I want to encourage you, if you have your Bible with you, to open your Bible to the book of Judges, chapter 16. Because here in the book of Judges, we find one verse, verse 21. And we're going to look at that verse here today, because I want to illustrate for you that the same thing that happened to Samson physically also happens to us spiritually because of sin. It was all because of sin that Samson did not complete his job. He wasn't where God wanted him to be. You see things in his life that should challenge each one of us. And we want to look at exactly what happened to Samson, all because of sin. So as you open your Bible to Judges chapter 16, I'd like to draw your attention to verse 21. Because here in verse 21, it tells us exactly what the Philistines did to Samson. In fact, if you look at verse 20, it says, "And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." He didn't know that the Lord was gone. He had departed. And it says here in verse 21, this is what the Philistines did to Samson. So put your thinking caps on and help me out. I'm going to read this verse for you, and I'm going to ask you the question, what are the three things that the Philistines did to Samson physically? Verse 21, "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." And as he's grinding, he was grinding Israel's wheat for the Philistines to eat. So what are the three things? But the Philistines took him, and what did they do? What's the first thing that the Philistines did to Samson physically? Can someone tell me? What was it? They put out his eyes. As you look at that phrase here, it says, "and put out his eyes." We know that the Holy Spirit used the Hebrew language to pin these words. And if you were to look at the Hebrew language at what they did, literally, they took Samson and they threw him on his back on the floor. One of the Philistines came up and put his right hand on Samson's left ear, put his left hand on Samson's right ear, put both his thumbs on both sides of Samson's nose, and gouged out his eyes. He was blind, right? And if you're blind, that means you can't hear, right? No, what does that mean? You can't see. You are blind. You're blind. You can't see. As you look at Scripture today, we know that the Philistines came and they plucked out Samson's eyes. And you know, just as Samson was physically blinded because of his sin, do you realize that we are spiritually blinded because of our sin? Sin is blinding. Listen to this verse. It's found in John chapter 12, verse 40. It says this: He, that Satan, hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts. Also, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, In whom the God of this world, and who's the God of this world right now? It's Satan, it's the devil. The God of this world hath, listen to this, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Can you see that, yes, sin is blinding? Satan just loves to blind the eyes of those who believe not, who haven't trusted in the true and living God. Oh, we see today that, oh, Satan's working awfully hard to blind those who do not believe, to blind them to the truth of God's word. We have the opportunity, of course, this summer to spend some time in California. And my wife has a few allergies. There's a few things she cannot eat. One of the things she has problems with is gluten. And do you realize that most fast food restaurants put gluten on the French fries, like McDonald's, Burger King? So she can't eat their French fries because of the gluten that's on the French fries. But there's one restaurant in California, and it's here also, that does not put gluten in the French fries, and that is In-N-Out. Anybody know anything about In-N-Out? Do you like In-N-Out? Yeah, that's pretty good stuff. They don't put gluten on the French fries. It's the only French fries my wife can eat at that fast food restaurant. So whenever we got a chance that we're able to go and go to In-N-Out, that's where we wanted to go. That's where we went, In-N-Out restaurant, so she can get the French fries. And there was a teenager there at In-N-Out that day who had a T-shirt. My wife told me about it. She saw it. It said, Satan loves you. What a message. And I thought, wait a second. He hates me. But you know, as I thought about it even more, I come to realize that, yeah, that's what Satan wants you to think. He loves you because, you know, he wants you to spend eternity in hell with him because that's where he's going to spend eternity. He doesn't have a choice. He already knows where he's going, but you have a choice. You have a choice. Satan loves to blind those who do not believe, those who've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Their eyes are blinded to the truth of his word. You know, you probably met individuals who said, you know, but I'm not as bad as some people are. I mean, there are other people in the world that are far worse than I am. You know those people right now who are in the state penitentiary? They are wicked, murderers, criminals, bank robbers. I mean, they are wicked. Their sin is longer than my arm. I mean, they are wicked. Look at them. They are bad. I mean, they're really bad. Then there's other people, you know, they pinch and they scratch and they cheat and they lie and they deceive. You know, they might not be as bad as these people are, but oh, they are wicked. And God's going to judge them one day. But you know, then there's me. You know, me, I'm too young to be a sinner. I'm too cute to be a sinner. I mean, I'm not as bad as these people are. In fact, I've hardly sinned at all. Look at me. I'm a really good person. I'm not as bad as these people. Look at how wicked they are. God's going to judge them one day because God hates sin. He won't allow sin into his presence. And, you know, Satan just loves to blind our eyes into thinking, but I'm too cute to be a sinner. I'm too young to be a sinner. Look at me. I've only sinned just a little bit. I'm not as bad as these people. I mean, these people are really wicked. And you know, of course, I have three ropes in my hand. And all three of these ropes are all three different lengths, aren't they? Sure they are. First of all, I got this itty-bitty dinky rope. And then I've got this medium-sized rope here. Then I've got this great big long one. And all three of these ropes are all three different lengths. I've got this itty-bitty dinky one. I've got this medium-sized one. And I've got this great big, oh, God hates these people. God's going to judge them. These are murderers, criminals. God's going to judge them one day. But then there's me. Look, I haven't sinned. Like, I'm not as bad as they are. But, you know, that's how man just loves to look at sin. Blinded by Satan into thinking, but I'm good enough. I don't need God. But you know, if we were to look at these three ropes, the way God looks at sin, you know what we'd find out? We'd find out that these three ropes are not three different lengths, but instead, these three ropes are all three the same length. Do you know why? Because that's how God looks at sin. The Bible shares with us that God hates sin and will not allow sin into his presence because he hates sin so much. So often we think, but I'm not as... No, in God's eyes we are. The Bible says, for all have sinned. We've all sinned against God. And because of our sin, the Bible says we're going to spend eternity in hell, separated from God forever. God hates sin. And of course, I have three ropes in my hand. And all three of these ropes are all three the same length. And by the way, how many of you here today can count to three? Can you all count to three? Let's practice, okay? You ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Now let's count these three ropes and see how many there are here. Three ropes, right? Here we go. Let's count them. You ready? Here we go. One, two, three. And all three ropes are the same length. Because that's how God looks at sin. The question is how do we look at sin? Do we look at sin as maybe being an itty-bitty dinky rope? Or maybe we look at sin as being a medium-sized rope? Or maybe we look at sin as being a great big long rope? But in any case, in God's eyes, God looks at them as all being the same. We're all sinners. We're all born in sin. Don't allow Satan into blinding your eyes into thinking, but I'm good enough. I'm not as bad as that. Oh, yes, we are. God shares with us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark. The Bible says, for all have sinned. As it is written, there's none righteous. We're all sinners in God's eyes. The Bible shares with us that only through Christ that we can have eternal life. Have you trusted in him? Do you know him as your Savior today? Or have you been blinded by Satan's deception, thinking that, oh, I'm okay, I don't need God, when God's word clearly says that we do? First of all, I believe that Samson learned, first of all, that number one, sin blinds. And oh, does it blind. Satan loves to deceive us into thinking, but I don't need God, I'm good enough. But God's word says we do. We have a God that loved us so much that he not only created us, but he sent his son that we might have eternal life. But not only does Samson learn, first of all, that sin blinds, but he also learned point number two. What's the second thing we find in Judges chapter 16 and verse 21? What's the second thing that they did? They brought him down to Gaza. And then what does it say in verse 21? That's right. They bound him in fetters of brass. He was trapped. He couldn't go anywhere. Excuse me. He's just as strong as any other man. The Holy Spirit was gone, and he lost the strength that he once had. He was bound. And you know, I'm sure you would agree with me that sin is binding. It's binding, isn't it? The Word of God says in Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities, his own sin, shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. The Bible also says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. If we remain in our sin, our payment for our sin is death. Now, this isn't talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. Spiritual death, death means separation. When someone dies, the body's placed into the grave and the soul goes off to eternity. But here, this is talking about spiritual separation, that we're going to be separated from God for all eternity in a place called hell. Now, I know the world today likes to make fun of that place called hell. They like to make fun of it, don't they? They like to say, well, that's where all my friends are going to be. Or maybe they say, well, hell is where the party is going to take place. How many of you have heard that before? The party. Oh, everybody needs to go to a party. Isn't that fun? But I want to share with you a special bulletin that I just heard. You know what it is? This special bulletin says, the party in hell has been canceled due to fire. The party's not going to happen. There is no party in hell. Hell is a place of torment. Do you remember the rich man and Lazarus? The Bible says when that rich man died, immediately he opened his eyes and he was in hell. There's no purgatory. There's no in between. There's no getting in or out. You've made your decision, lost, condemned, and spending eternity in hell. And you know, that rich man did not say, oh, now it's time for a party. Let's have fun. Oh, no. No, he was in torment. He was in anguish. And he pleaded and begged for Lazarus just to dip his finger in water and come and touch his tongue. He was in so much torment immediately. Hell is not a place for a party. That's why I want to share with you that Satan just loves to blind our eyes into believing I'm good enough when God's word says I'm not. God's word also says that because of sin, we're bound by our sin. I love that picture of the word redemption. You know that word redemption? That word redemption means to be purchased from the slave market of sin. That shares with us a picture that when we're born in this world, we're born as a slave. We're bound. We can't do anything but sin against God. I'm a slave to my sin, and God hates my sin and will not allow my sin into his presence. But when we come and see our sin the way God sees my sin, and I repent of my sin, I turn to the Lord. The word of God says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That word believe means to put your full faith, your full trust on that one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I, by faith, believe in him and believe in Christ and Christ alone, the Bible shares with us that I am redeemed. The chains of my sin fall off. I'm set free. Praise the Lord. I'm born again, headed for heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Folks, that is a wow moment. That's exciting because of what Christ has done for me. Redeemed, purchased from the slave market of sin, and set free. But here Samson learned that sin binds. It binds. Because of my sin, I can't go to heaven. Because of my sin, I am a slave to my sin. I am bound by my sin. I have no hope. Just as Samson, who was blind and bound, no hope, can't see, can't go anywhere, bound because of his sin. The Word of God shares with us that we're bound because of our sin, that God hates my sin and will not allow sin into his presence. Well, I have an illustration I want to share with you. I got some, let's see here. I think I've got a couple of ropes. If you know me long enough, you know I like ropes. Oh, boy, do I like ropes. And I need a couple helpers here. I need two volunteers that know how to tie a square knot. That's what I need, someone that can tie a square knot. Do I have any volunteers? Nobody. Man, oh boy, this is like pulling teeth here. Let's see here. Who can I get to help me out to? How about the young man here? Would you be willing to come on up here? Could you come up here? Yeah, you. Yeah, come on up here. Yeah, you. Come on up here. Oh, you're going to make him do it? Okay, well, let's see. Let's pick. How about a young lady? Can we pick? I like to pick a young lady too. There's a couple young ladies out there in the foyer. Are they willing to come on in here? No, they're hiding. Look at that. Hey, you guys can come on in here. You don't have to sit way out here. There's plenty of room in here. No, they're going to sit back there. Let's see. How about a young lady? Let's see who'd be willing to. Man, this is like pulling. How about pastor's daughter? She just got married. Why don't you come on up here? Would you be my helper? There we go. Congratulations. I saw on Facebook you're now married. That's exciting. There we go. And I met your husband already. Hello. How are you doing back there? Yep. I'm going to have her tie a square knot for me here. Let's go ahead. Hey, come on in here. Come on in. You guys can come on in here. There you go. You don't have to sit way in the back, though. There's plenty of pews up here or over there. You're going to sit. Oh, you're with him. Okay, there we go. Go ahead and have a seat there. There we go. Now after the volunteers are all picked, they're going to come on in here. There we go. Okay, here we go. So what we're going to do here is take your rope like this, and I like to put about an inch above my fingers so that we can see what's going on here. And I make sure my pinkies are around it so it doesn't wrap around, because that really makes it confusing. So if you take the rope in your right hand, put it over the rope in your left, and then your left over the right, you'll have a square knot. But we'll do it nice and slow here. So you take the rope in your right hand, put it over the top of the rope in your left. There you go. And take the rope that's on top and twirl it to the middle and point it to the left. Point it to the left. You got it? There you go. Pull it out a little bit more so you got something to work with. How are you doing over there? You got it? Well, something like that. So you go the left over. See what you got? Yeah, it goes through here. Goes to the middle so that you got a loop like this, like you're tying your shoes. There you go. Uh-huh. And point it toward me. Goes this way. So if you take the rope in your right hand, put it over the rope in your left, and then twirl the one on top through the middle like that. There you go. Now you got it. Now you got a granny knot. You go the other way. So, okay, take the rope now in your left hand, put it over the rope in your right. There you go, and take the rope that's on the top, twirl it through the middle, kind of like a rabbit through the hole, and you will have a square knot. Whoop, now you're doing a double thing. Yeah, what you got here? Here, take it back out like this. Take it all the way out. There you go. Okay, take the rope in your right hand, put it over the rope in your right, then twirl the top one through the middle. There you go. Okay. Now take this rope, put it on top of that one, like this. There you go. Twirl it through the middle and point it this way. There you go, and you're going to have a square knot. There it is. You see the square knot? Isn't that cool? Yeah, how are you doing over here? There you go. You got it. Very good. Now take your loop like this. Take your loop like this and pull it just as hard as you can. Get it good and tight. Good and tight. There we go. All right. Now let me grab yours at the bottom. So when you let go, the knot's on the bottom. Go ahead and let go. There you go. And then let me have yours at the bottom. So when you let go, the rope's on the bottom. Very good. Thank you so much. You two can go ahead and have a seat. Give them a hand. Give them a hand. They did a good job. Thank you. Wow. Now, all three of these ropes were tied separately, weren't they? There's no way they're going to bind together. But I want to share with you the binding power of sin. The Word of God says, for the wages of sin is death. Because of my sin, I am bound by my sin. Sin is a trap. Sin leads to death. Samson learned that not only is sin blinding, but sin is also binding. It's binding. The Bible shares with us that we are in the slave market of sin. We can't do anything but sin against God because God hates sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. And you know, I'm sure glad that verse doesn't end there. I'm so glad that verse doesn't end there. Because it goes on. The Word of God says, for the wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through baptism, right? Through church membership. Through living a good life. No. It says, for the wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's not through baptism. It's not through church membership. It's not by living a good life, but through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is God incarnate in the flesh. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put my full faith, my full trust in that one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, if we as a sinner,
were to call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to spend eternity in hell. But Christ, you died for me. You died that I might have eternal life. And that if I, as a sinner, were to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I believe that you are who you say that you are. That you are the Son of God. That you died for my sin and I accept you as my personal Savior. The Bible shares with us that he will break the binding power of sin and he will set me free. The question is, what have I done with Jesus? Have I trusted in him? Have I called upon his name? Or do I just remain in my sin, bound by my sin, blind to my sin, not interested in what God has done for me? Samson learned that sin is an awful thing. That first of all, sin blinds. Secondly, sin binds. But not only did Samson learn that sin blinds and that sin binds, but he also learned something else about sin that clearly teaches us that Satan is not our friend. He's not our friend. And I know that T-shirt of that teenager said, but Satan loves me. No, he doesn't. He hates you. He's not interested in your well-being. He's not interested in your eternity. He wants you to suffer in anguish like he's going to. That's why I'm here today, to share with you that there is hope. We can be set free. We can see our sin the way God sees our sin when we study the Word of God and see what God's Word has to say. But not only did Samson learn physically that sin blinds and that sin binds, but what else did the Philistines make Samson do? Anybody remember? What was it? What's the third thing in that verse, Judges chapter 16 and verse 21? What's the third thing that they did? They brought him down to Gaza. They plucked out his eyes. They bound him with fetters of brass. And he did what? What did they make him do? Grind the wheat. You're right. Made him grind the wheat. Now think about this. They're taking Israel's wheat and they're grinding it for the Philistines to eat. It's almost like a thief coming into your house, breaking in, and stealing all your food out of the refrigerator. That wouldn't make you very happy, would it? That would make you pretty angry, yeah. And that's what the Philistines were doing. Israel back then would make or dig a deep pit in the ground, and they would form or chisel out a huge wheel. And this huge wheel had a hole in the middle, and they would take a huge log and they would stick it in the hole in the middle of that great big wheel. And then they would take a water buffalo or a water oxen and they would tie them on both ends of that log. And then they would make those buffaloes walk in circles. And as those buffalo are walking in circles, the wheel would turn and grind the wheat. Well, instead of using a buffalo or water buffalo, they tied Samson to end of one of those logs. And so here's Samson on the end of this great big log, bound with fetters of brass, walking in circles, grinding the wheat. Now, that sounds like a pretty exciting job, isn't it? Oh, wow, how wonderful. Wouldn't that be fun? Nah. I'm sure it didn't take very long, and he was bored. Here he is, he's blind, he can't see. He's bound to this log, and he's walking in circle day after day, after week, month after month, walking in circles. Wouldn't you think that Samson had some time to think about his ways, to consider his life? I'm sure Samson was bound to that log. He was blind. He was bound, walking in circles, grinding that wheat, thinking about something. And you know what I think he was thinking about? He was probably thinking about, why was I deceived? Why did I sin? Why didn't I do what God asked me to do? Why wasn't I obedient? Here I am walking in circles. My eyes are gone. Israel is bound by the Philistines, and I'm here walking in circles, grinding our own wheat for the Philistines to eat. Wouldn't you think that would tear him up quite a bit? I think Samson not only learned that Samson blinds, and that Samson learned that sin binds, but he also learned that sin grinds. It will tear you apart. Realizing what sin has done. Sin is a thief. It's a robber.
It will steal our joy. It will steal our peace. It will steal our attitude. It will steal our hope of eternity. Nothing to live for. Nothing to look forward to. Satan has stolen it all. But when we see our sin the way God sees our sin, we repent of our sin, the joy has come back, the chains are lifted, they fall off. I see my sin the way God sees my sin. I am set free because of who Jesus Christ is. Oh, Samson, learn that sin's an awful thing. It will destroy your life. Let me share with you an illustration. I have up here a little red piece of construction paper. I also have a black silk. I'm going to stick that black silk there in my pocket. And this construction paper reminds me of the Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done for us. The Bible shares with us that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary. He shed his blood for my sin that I might have eternal life. And you see, if I as a sinner were to see my sin the way God sees my sin, the Bible says, for all have sinned. We're all born in sin. I know there's people today that say, well, I've always been saved. There's never been a time when I wasn't saved. I'm good in that. But no, we're all born in sin. We're born in sin. I know grandchildren, when we see a child born or even our own children, we think, oh, how could he be a sinner? Oh, we learn very quickly, yeah. Yep, we're born in sin, for all have sinned. And you know, if we as a sinner were to see our sin the way God sees our sin, and that takes an act of God. When we realize, hey, Satan's not my friend, I'm born in sin. My only hope is through Jesus Christ, the one who died for my sin. And if I as a sinner were to come to the cross of Calvary, say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to spend eternity in hell, but Christ, you died for me. You died on the cross that I might have eternal life. And if I as a sinner were to come to Calvary and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confess that he is Lord, that he died for me, I accept him as my Savior, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, that word believe means to put our full trust, our full faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in my heart that Lord hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And although our sin be as red as scarlet, it shall be as white as snow. The question is, what have you done with Jesus? Have you trusted in him? Are your eyes blinded by Satan himself? Blinded to the truth of God's word, that we're all born in sin. We're all sinners, bound by our sin. Satan is not our friend. He doesn't love you. He hates you. He wants you to spend eternity in torment and anguish like he's going to. So I want to share with you the hope that only God can give. And that hope is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Redeemer. He is our hope. He's the one that can set us free. He is the one that will forgive me of all my sin. What have you done with Jesus? Do you know him as your Savior today? Have you trusted in him? Let's pray. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God today and for the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray if there's one here that's not saved, one here who's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that today, that you allow the Holy Spirit to open their eyes, to help them to see their sin the way you see sin. Not to allow Satan to blind our eyes, not to allow Satan to bind us with no hope, no peace, but help us to be set free. Help us to see the only one who could drop those chains, that can give me life, eternal life. Oh, the joy and the peace that brings, because, oh, Satan, he only wants to bring misery, pain, anguish, no hope, no joy, no peace. Oh, Father, I pray that Satan's hold in those lives here today will be broken, that if there's one here that's not saved, that they'll trust in Jesus Christ today. In Jesus' name I pray. Before you open your eyes,
keep every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're here today without Christ, will you speak to one of us? Will you talk to Pastor or his wife or someone here in the church that you just admire and trust and ask them, what must I do to be saved? How can I have my sin forgiven? Don't leave here today without Jesus. Trust him today. Oh, Father, use these words today in a powerful way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.